Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhajagata Jata Radhara Shri Shri Maharaj Divine Grace Sri Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Upahari Ki Jaya Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhajagata Jata Radhara Shri Shri Maharaj Divine Grace Sri Bhakti Vedanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Upahari Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya ISKCON Founder Acharya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Jagahosri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadara, Shivasadi, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kundarara Kunda Gita Govardhan Ki Jaya, Shri Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya, Shri Shri Namrud Dham Ki Jaya, Shri Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jaya, Shri Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jaya, Shri Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jaya, Tulasi Devi Ki Jaya, Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya, Ganga Maya Ki Jaya, Jamuna Maya Ki Jaya, Gaur Premanandi, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Shri Shri Brihat Madanga ki jai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution ki jai, Shri Shri Gaurnitai ki jai, Shri Shri Jagannatha Baladeva Subhadra ki jai, Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish ki jai, Shri Shri Dwarkadam ki jai, Shri Shri Jagannath Ratha Yatra Mahamahotsava ki jai, Shama Veda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. So I've been asked this morning to speak about the history of Ratha Yatra in this temple, and because I didn't bring my glasses, I'm going to have to dispense with reading the one verse I was planning to read this morning. But we were very enlivened to hear Chaitwater Maharaj's lecture yesterday. And one of the things that's so important to remember about that lecture and the verses we're reading in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita is that Ratha Yatra is not just a festival or a display or a way presenting Krishna consciousness in a palatable way, but it actually presents the innermost pastimes of Radha and Krishna. There's an inner meaning to Ratha Yatra, which people begin to understand as they come to it or they become closer to Krishna consciousness and hear about the meaning of Ratha Yatra. But it's both things. It's an opportunity for thousands of people, tens of thousands or more, to see the deity and to see wonderful worship of the deity and wonderful ceremonies conducted before the deity. And also for devotees, it's an opportunity to remember the most intimate pastimes of the Lord with his most intimate disciples, how they are in one sense controlling the Lord by their pure devotion. So Ratha Yatra is not an ordinary festival by any means. This morning I'll talk a little about the festival itself and the history. That's the main topic of Ratha Yatra in this temple. Also about Srila Prabhupada's particular attachment to Ratha Yatra and how it was Srila Prabhupada who instigated the Ratha Yatra festival outside of India and all over the world, of course in India also, and about Jayananda Prabhu, who was the inaugurator, you might say, of the Ratha Yatra here, following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, and of course in New York City. And his relationship to this festival is very special. Just as we know there are many holy places in India, such as Rameshwaram and Jagannath Puri and Badrinath and Dwarka and many other holy sacred places, and we read in Srimad Bhagavatam that they're purified constantly by the visitations of pure devotees. So although the festival has been implemented and gotten underway by Srila Prabhupada, persons like Jayananda Prabhu have also started Ratha Yatra in places like this, but they've also given a certain purity to the festival. And as I'll read in a letter that Prabhupada wrote to devotees here in New Dwarka, he instructed that the picture of Jayananda Prabhu be hung in the chariot of Lord Jagannath. So how did the Ratha Yatra festival start? First of all, Prabhupada was very attached to this festival. He had been thinking about it, obviously. I'll just go back momentarily to our sister temple in San Francisco. And in 1967, Prabhupada had been observing through the window of his apartment in Frederick Street flatbed trucks driving by. And he made a drawing of one of these trucks. And he called me up to his room and showed me the drawing. It was a drawing of a flatbed truck, and on the back of the flatbed truck were four pillars and a canopy that came up to a pitched center in a canopy style. And then he had little numbers drawn next to the pillars, next to the truck, next to the canopy, and next to where the deities were going to be. That temple was called New Jagannath Puri. And then there was a legend at the lower left-hand part of the drawing explaining what each number meant. And he explained that this little mandap or canopy would be the temple, and the deities of Lord Jagannath would be installed inside this canopy on the back of this truck, and that this would become the first Rath Yatra festival. So that was the first Rath Yatra festival. It took place in the back of a flatbed truck. So Prabhupada showed from very early on in his coming to the United States, his coming to the West, that he wanted a Rath Yatra, and that was the first manifestation that took place in the back of a truck. So in 1977, sometime later, there had been Rath Yatra festivals all over the world, in Delhi and in Paris, in London, New York, and other places. And the idea of having a Rath Yatra festival in Los Angeles was kind of not taken too seriously. In fact, during the second Rath Yatra festival in San Francisco, I was in Los Angeles trying to help get the temple started here. And we had a little deity, not a little, a regular deity, this regular-sized deity of Lord Jagannath, in the temple on Pico Boulevard. So I was kind of delegated to stay down in Los Angeles, and someone else went up to the festival. But in the spirit, I went with another devotee, in the spirit of Rath Yatra, and we drove down to Venice Beach in an old fort, and we took Lord Jagannath with us, and carried him around on the beach for a while, just so there would be some semblance of a Rath Yatra. Big Lord Jagannath, he was very heavy. So in one sense, that was the first Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. Not much of a festival, but we were very inspired by the reports from San Francisco. So when Jayananda came, he had been very sick, and he had built the Rath Yatra carts in New York, and Prabhupada was very happy, very pleased with him. In fact, he said that he should get a certificate of merit. He and Toshan Krishna, who worked very hard, 15 hours a day, they said, for weeks to make the festival a success. And even though he had leukemia, terminal lymph node cancer, he steered the Rath Yatra cart down Fifth Avenue personally and took part in the festival in an amazing way. At that time, he'd already gained the reputation of being somebody like Mr. Rath Yatra, somebody very special who had implemented these Rath Yatras and built the carts and been kind of the main pusher of Rath Yatra in different parts of the world, especially in San Francisco, New York. After this Rath Yatra, which went down Fifth Avenue, that's the main parade route in America. It's the place where all of the war heroes are paraded, and it's where the St. Patrick's and the Macy's Day Parade take place, and where lots of confetti and streamers are thrown down from the building tops. So this was something that was very pleasing to Prabhupada, and he mentioned about the certificates. And then he wrote a letter to Jayananda saying, you have fulfilled my most cherished dream, which is a very amazing letter to get from Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes you'd practically have to kill yourself to even get him to smile a little bit. But he wrote this letter, you have fulfilled my most cherished dream, going down Fifth Avenue into Washington Square Park. So then Jayananda was very ill. He at one point left the hospital against doctors' wishes and orders, pulled out all the intravenous tubes. He'd been eating lots of prasadam, which was also against the rules, and just walked out. He said it was giving him bad dreams, having to take all these drugs. So he, for a time, was in Mexico looking for cures. And then he came to Los Angeles, and he was very happy to be here, to see all the devotees and to be welcomed so much. And sometimes he would ask me to come to his room and read Chaitanya Chaitamrita. He had a great love for hearing and reading Chaitanya Chaitamrita, even into the night. Sometimes we would read very late. And he would say every once in a while, you know, we should have a Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. And I would say, yeah, but there's no place to have it because there's no concentration of people anywhere, and that's probably why we never had a Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. But he kept saying, you know, Mukunda, you should have a Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. So he kept persisting, and then one day we decided to kind of humor him in a way by driving around Los Angeles and just showing him that there really wasn't any concentration of people where we could have a big festival. So it was Karandar and Rameshwar and I in a car with Jainan, and that time he was moving about in a wheelchair. He was staying in an apartment here in the Green Building, 3755, and they had a hospital bed, one of those kinds you can prop up by turning a crank at the end. And he was kind of living off medical benefits. And the doctors kept saying, anytime, anytime. He somehow kept going past the allotted time that the doctors gave him to live. So we started driving around. We drove to the downtown area, and we drove up to Beverly Hills. We went down to the Marina Del Rey and places where the Wilshire Boulevard, where there should be concentrations of people. There weren't really hardly any people to be seen. This was on a busy weekday, Santa Monica. So then somehow the notion came up that we should drive down to Venice Beach. So we got to the beach and we got out of the car because he said, why don't we go down on the boardwalk instead of the street next to the boardwalk. I forget what it's called. Oceanfront Walk, is it? Anyway, it's the one we went on the walkway, right where the Rath Yatra is held. And we were wheeling him down the walkway and saw lots and lots of people. And he said, yeah, this is where you should have Rath Yatra. This is where all the people are. And so the idea was kind of fermenting in our minds. We were thinking maybe this is a good place to have Rath Yatra Festival. And so we walked the whole distance, more or less from Santa Monica, almost the parade route, the way it is now, down to the main pavilion. Just as we were at the end, we were pushing him down the boardwalk, a uniformed policeman started to approach us. And then as we got close to him, he just stood like this, right in front of Jayananda, right in front of the wheelchair. And we thought, uh-oh, maybe we weren't supposed to have a wheelchair on the boardwalk or something was going wrong. And he just stood there, and we had to stop. And he said, my name is Sergeant White. I'm from the Los Angeles Police Department. And I want to thank you, gentlemen. He held out his hand to shake hands with us. And so we all shook hands. And he said, I don't know if you heard about this, but one of our men was involved in a very serious assault last night in downtown L.A., and one of your people saved his life. And I just want to thank you. We're very grateful. And none of us knew anything about what he was talking about. But somehow or other, that was a confirmation that unusual thing happened and we should have the Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. So then Rameshwar decided, Rameshwar Prabhu, that we'd have to get, it would be a very difficult thing and we'd have to get permits and he'd have to think about it for a while. So we all retired back to our places and Jayananda kept asking us day after day, Did you get the go-ahead? Did you get your GVC's permission? And I said, no, he's still thinking about it. So unbeknownst to us, he had a medical benefit of about $5,000, and he had a telephone next to his hospital bed. So he phoned and ordered enough wood to build 3 Rath Yatra carts to be delivered to the temple parking lot. And one day, lo and behold, this huge pile of lumber appeared in the parking lot, and no one knew what it was. So Rameshwar was really didn't know what's this kind of put off, and so we went and showed it to him. And he said, well, Jayananda, you know, he just couldn't wait any longer. He'd been waiting a week and a half, and finally he just decided to order the wood and he had also spoken with Lalitanath to build the carts, and they had made some kind of an arrangement that if he got the wood, Lalitanath would build the carts. So when Rameshwar saw what great determination Jayananda had to order this wood from his hospital bed, and knew he couldn't work on it himself and had arranged everything, his heart just melted. And he said, okay, we have to have this festival. There's no question now. We're just going to do it. And it was already getting on towards, I may be wrong in these dates, but something like February or March, and the festival was to be in August. And it might have even been later than that because the whole thing was done very, very quickly. Maybe some of you who are here remember the exact date when that lumber first appeared. But anyway, it appeared. And At that point, Jayananda Prabhu started working very feverishly with Lalitanath to see about building the carts, and had ordered enough wood. Jayananda Prabhu was an engineer. I don't know whether he was a construction engineer or a civil engineer, but he had a degree in engineering, so he knew something about how these things should be done. And Lalitanath, as you know, who's doing all the improvements here in the temple, is quite a master craftsman and builder. So it was the perfect combination. So they started in this parking lot to build the Rath Yatra carts. And they were built very strongly, very unusually strong. I think they've outlasted just about any Rath Yatra carts that have been built in anywhere in the world. Since that time, since 1977, there's been just a very bit of minor strengthening, and they've lasted, going all the way down to Venice Beach and the beach route and back, being towed, pulled on their wheels. Now, these are not ordinary wheels. Lalitanath built these wheels from scratch. He welded them together. He got the axles, and then he welded the spokes to the axles. And then the wheels themselves are big pieces of steel that were straight, and they were bent around and welded to form the wheels of the chariot. Once they were formed, Lalitanath had them sent to another state. I don't know if he's here now, but they were in either Arizona or New Mexico. They were trucked out there, and the rubber that's on them now was vulcanized onto the metal. It wasn't just put on and held with straps or something like that, but it's actually vulcanized, which means it's fused somehow to that metal through a process called vulcanization. And it's very strong, very hard rubber. I don't think that's even ever been replaced. So the wheels are very strong. There was one incidence of wheels collapsing in one of the Rath Yatras in London, where some old wagon wheels had been used, and they couldn't bear the weight of the cart. And after that, Prabhupada had said that the carts must be engineered properly so that this wouldn't happen again. So they were very, very strong. I'll tell about how Prabhupada reacted to seeing photographs of them later on. So this process went on of building, and then a great sort of furor started to take hold of the community. And it appeared that Jayananda Prabhu was going to be directing all this activity from his bedside. And it kind of fell on Prabhu Brahman and I to do the organizing of the festival, and taking orders from Jayananda, of course. So we made a grid. One axis was the names of all the devotees in the community, and the other, that was the vertical one. The horizontal one was all the days leading up to the festival. There were about 45 days or so. So we tried to arrange so that everybody had something to do every day, almost every hour of the day towards the end. And it became a very busy period, the last 2 weeks. So basically, we didn't do anything else for about 2.5 months except try to put together something that would happen for the first time. It involved getting tents and stages, tents from India, renting stages, getting wood to build stages, hiring elephants and their keepers, mounting a publicity campaign, all those things, getting lots of permits. I think we had to get about 40 permits from the city of Los Angeles. And it was very difficult to get those permits because they just weren't used to something going on this scale, and nothing on this scale had happened at the beach. And then among the many other things we did for publicity, was that we strung big banners that said Festival of the Chariots. They were about 3 feet wide and 35 to 40 feet long. And we made about 40 of these. They were hand done on an industrial sewing machine here. I think Narayan Prabhu and some others worked on them. Very colorful. They were yellow with red letters. Feast for 10,000 people, it said, Festival of the Chariots. Gave the date and Venice Beach. So we strung these up between lampposts on major intersections all over Los Angeles, including Wilshire and Westwood. And just to give you an idea of how unusual it was, this span between the two lampposts at Westwood Boulevard is very wide. There's quite a few lanes of traffic there. And at one point, the banner started to sag. And these weren't very carefully or closely policed. We found out later that there was a clause in one of the city ordinances that actually made such kinds of banners illegal, but nobody said anything about it to us, so we just did it for the first 2 years. But it began to sag, and one truck came along and grabbed it, So it was pulling, and we had an eyewitness account of this. Someone who was a parking lot attendant watched and thought that the lampposts were going to snap over because the truck was pulling the banner so hard it didn't even slow down. And he said at the last minute, just when it looked like the lampposts would snap, the ropes broke, and the truck went on pulling the banner. And this man who had been observing the banner over a period of time ran out into the street and grabbed the banner and rolled it up and put it inside his little kiosk there that he was managing the parking lot so that it wouldn't create a big stir, cause any more traffic problems. And somehow the Los Angeles police didn't notice it. The truck driver didn't complain, and it sort of went on. But those were strung up all over the city, and we calculated that tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people saw those banners. In ensuing years, we had to make them a lot smaller because we were told about the ordinances. But a lot of people came to that first festival due to those banners and all the publicity. We had to have meetings with the city officials, the Park and Recreations Department, the Overland Division, as well as the Santa Monica city councilors and police of both cities. And it was kind of touch and go because it wasn't just a matter of getting official permits for fire and vehicles and water and entertainment and et cetera, but we had to have sort of like verbal official permission from the city council members and the police, and it was really uphill all the way. They didn't really know how to deal with this, had to have insurance for the elephants and so on. But somehow or other, it was all agreed to. So Jayananda would give us great encouragement. At the end of each day, we'd go to his room and tell him about the day's events. And he'd say, "Oh, I don't know how you do it, Mukunda. I don't know how you do it, Bhuvan." Just making us feel very important. But he was actually doing everything. He was telling us actually what to do and how to deal with all these different things that came up. Then we ordered these big shamayanas and tents from India, and we raised about $80,000 for this festival. There were a couple of marathons, and we went to all of our friends here and there, and somehow we were able to raise this money. And Chiru Prabhu was in India, I believe, at the time, and arranged. We had to transfer money to India, and we had to get these big tents and shamayanas on a boat, and they had to get here in time for Rath Yatra. And it was Krishna's arrangement. They arrived the Saturday before the Sunday at Rath Yatra. And we had to get them through the shipping agents off the ships and out to the festival side. And it was all really Lord Jagannath's special intervention that these things were able to happen. Same with the stages. They were all kind of erected at the last minute. And the whole thing was really put together. I mean, many people stayed up all night. So Jayananda was extremely encouraging, and he was the real sustaining force in keeping this activity going. He got very ill, and it came to be his birthday. And one of the things he always used to say to us that I hope that I'll leave my body before Srila Prabhupada. And that was always a very moving thing to hear because we knew he really meant it. And he was very sick, and it was probably going to happen. So it was his birthday, and we wanted to honor him and have a birthday party out at the Rath Yatra site. So some devotees made cakes. They made cakes that were exact replicas of the Rath Yatra carts with donuts for wheels, and the canopies were the exact same color, made in frosting of the canopies, the way they were being made. They were also being produced on industrial sewing machines up in what's now the shop, the store. A very intense activity was going on for weeks. So the devotees were congregating out there, and we asked him just to come out. We wanted to make it kind of a surprise party, but he didn't feel like going. He was pretty sickly. And I don't think he knew it was his birthday. If he did, he didn't seem to be thinking about it. So he wouldn't go. He just said, I don't really feel like going, Because then we had to say, well, there's a problem with the carts, and Lalit not need your help. No, he still didn't want to go. So we asked Lalit not to come to his room and tell him that he'd have to come out and help solve the structural problem. So he came into his room and started asking him, and Jayananda said, no, it's easy, you can fix it this way, you can fix it that way. So finally, I don't know if it was because he thought the problem was insolvable without him or just because Lalit Nath was so much insisting that he agreed to go out to the carts. So we pushed him out in his wheelchair. As we got near the
carts, he heard all the devotees chanting, and then he realized what was going on, that they were going to have some kind of a celebration, and he remembered it was his birthday. And when he got out to the carts, the kirtan got very ecstatic. People were jumping and dancing, singing Jai Jagannath, and the carts were moving well along in their construction. And so after the kirtan, he insisted on speaking. And devotees were kind of skittish about him speaking because he wanted to stand up, and he hardly ever stood up. But he spoke about the festival in a very shaky voice. It was almost very hard to hear him speak. It was very quiet. And he spoke about the glories of the festival. He talked about how important it would be that everyone should participate, that it was Krishna's mercy, that it was taking place in Los Angeles, and that he wanted every devotee to go. And it was quite amazing because it was very hard for him to stand up and very hard for him to speak. And there were devotees standing on both sides of him to catch him if he would fall down. It was a very tearful experience for a lot of devotees to see such devotion in someone who has not had very long to live and who had dedicated his life to Ratha Yatra. So it was kind of a mixed joyful, sad experience, very transcendental. So then the devotees cut the cake, gave him big pieces of cake to eat, and he wouldn't take any cake himself, but he rather insisted that the children come forward and get big pieces of cake, which they very gladly did, and started the whole process going. And then everyone got cake, and Jayananda took some, went back to his room, very happy, very satisfied. So then it came just a few weeks later that he got very ill. He was unconscious. I was in San Diego at the time and got word that he was in his probably last few hours, too late to come up from San Diego. And it was at about 4:30 in the morning. He was listening to Prabhupada on a tape recorder. Devotees were chanting. And just at that time, the garland from the Lord fell to his feet, and that was taken to Jayananda's room and put around his neck. And when he left his body, he was listening to Prabhupada chant, he was listening to devotees chant. And a description of how he left his body was sent to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote back saying, Jayananda's death is glorious. It is very good that he had stated, what is the use of such a useless body? Better to give it up. He has left his body very wonderfully and has been transferred to Vaikuntha. I have already set a condolence letter for publication in Back to Godhead. Everyone should follow the example of Jayananda. I am very proud that I had such a nice disciple. If possible, Jayananda's picture should be hung in the Rath of Lord Jagannath, and in all our temples, a day may be set aside for holding a festival in his honor, just as we do on the disappearance day of other great Vaishnavas. So that festival, that Tirubhava of Jagannath, Jayananda Prabhu, is being honored all over the world. His parents came on that occasion, and his remains were taken to a cemetery where the body was cremated, and we had some chanting out there. And then Chandanacharya and Chitsukananda and Rameshwar and myself came back, and Prabhubrahan, to the temple with his parents came in a separate car, and they were very, the mother was very grief-stricken at this cremation ceremony. They just put the body in a cardboard box and up a conveyor belt into a big furnace. And then when the smoke comes out of the top of the furnace, that's considered the end of the ceremony. So it was a bit strange and impersonal, although we were chanting the whole time. So when we got back to Rameshwar's place, there was a nice feast prepared. And we all started talking about Jayananda, and his mother and father sort of came out of their grief and began to tell stories about him as a child. And all of a sudden it turned into a very festive occasion, a very big feast, and just story after story about Jayananda. It was very wonderful. And they, you could see, had become touched by his purity, and spiritual ecstasy was beginning to overtake their grief-stricken state. So then it came time to have the Ratha Yatra. And it somehow, in the wake of Jayananda's passing and his great enthusiasm, everything came together in a very miraculous way. People stayed up all night, and the festival was as usual. There was a lot of clouds in the morning, and then it just cleared up during the noontime, and the elephants appeared. They were all very nicely decked out, painted with these pipli shamayanas over their backs, and had beautiful, beautifully adorned and decorated riders on their backs. And the whole 4 acres or so of Venice Beach was filled up with exhibits, including the tents that were erected at the last minute. A very full presentation, and it's still, I think, that maybe Calcutta's an exception, the biggest, most rich Rathiatra festival in the world, ISKCON festival. One of the things that happened that made that festival unique was that it was attended by a lot of people. I mean, for the first one in Los Angeles, there was tens of thousands of people, most of whom had probably already been at the beach, and they saw these chariots and these elephants going down the boardwalk from Santa Monica, and many, many, many people came to attend. There was wonderful prasadam, wonderful chanting throughout the day, and a wonderful display of Krishna consciousness through all the different exhibits. This should end at 8:15, is it? One of the things that happened was that an unusual occurrence was that the national CBS News somehow came there. And usually they just report on scandals and violence and disasters and that sort of thing. But somehow they came. It was another miracle. And I remember the reporter interviewed me and several other devotees. Her name was Karen Lovejoy. Remember that unusual name? She said this is the best thing I've ever reported on. She was eating pakoras nonstop from about 1 o'clock till 4. That night we went in to watch the news, and the commentator sat in front of a desk. I think his name was Ed Bradley, and there was a big picture of Jagannath Temple behind him, the whole big kalash, the stupa, and I guess he had gotten this from the news release. So it was at the end, it was something like 11:30 at night, and the whole thing was maybe 6 or 7 minutes long. And then there was a reporter out interviewing people. I was interviewed, and she interviewed people, and then all of a sudden, there was Jayananda's mother and father right in front of the microphone. And she asked them, this was a broadcast, "What's your name?" "Oh, we're Mr. and Mrs. Jim Kaur." "Where are you from?" "Grand Junction, Colorado." Grand Junction, Colorado, that's a long ways to come." "What brings you out here at such a long ways?" So they explained that their son had actually built the carts. He passed away a few months ago from leukemia, and he built these carts all over the world. Well, it was such an incredible story. First of all, it was just amazing that out of the thousands of people that were there, they happened to walk up to, close to this reporter, and that she happened to select them to interview them. That in itself was amazing. But after staying up all night, many, many devotees, and working so hard to make the festival happen, and seeing such an incredible participation of so many devotees, and forgetting to put the picture of Jayananda in the cart, which we vowed to do the following year, and we've done subsequently, and having feasted and having been half asleep, and having seen so many tens of thousands of people come to the festival, this was the confirmation, or the culmination, you might say, to know that millions of people actually saw Lord Jagannath in his chariot and saw Jayananda's parents. That sort of was the crowning glory of the Los Angeles Rathiatra for that first year, just to see that. And we very shortly after that collapsed into a long sleep of yoga nidra. I guess that's a good way to end. The Rathiatra festival is very special. We have Jayananda's picture on it. We attribute its great success to his purity and to Prabhupada's burning desire to see this be something that would be celebrated all over the world. And it's a great honor for me to be able to come and participate and see how year after year somehow the mercy of Lord Jagannath has been here. The festival is very well organized. It cost us $80,000 the first year. We didn't make any profit, and I don't know if Savas knows the figures, but I think over the last 10 years it has been making a profit. So in every way it's been success, materially, spiritually, and great inspiration for all the devotees. So I just want to say I'm very happy to be part of this, And I hope that that many thousands of more people will for sure take advantage of this festival on Sunday, and through the enthusiasm of all the devotees here. Oh, there's one last thing I do want to say, that Prabhupada, although he wasn't here, he saw photographs of the Rath Yatra in his room in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Prabhupada didn't stay with us too much longer after that in his physical form, but he saw these slides. And some of the comments he made were, we've never seen such carts. And he was very, very impressed. And he wrote a letter, which I couldn't find. I was looking for it this morning, to all the boys and girls of New Dwarka, thanking them for the wonderful festival that they put on and how glorious the carts were. So somehow, and then according to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was there at the time, he said that Prabhupada asked all the devotees to leave his room. He wanted to just meditate on the wonderful festival that the devotees in New Dwarka had put on for Lord Jagannath. So we had confirmation in so many ways that Prabhupada was there in spirit and that he was encouraging us to continue. Jai Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. Sri Jagannath Mahamahotsava Ratha Yatra Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Jayananda Ki Jai.
The planning to commit a suicide, and he was a little bit of, what, you planning to commit a suicide? She said yes, and then he looked inside and was a chair like this in the middle of the room, and that was this rope to put and and to finish, you know. And then he was entering in the last moment, and then he started to preach, but no, the life is not so bad as you think, and this and that. In the end she took one magazine, okay, I promise to you I will not commit suicide. And then he left, and that was the end of the story. One. Okay, that's it. Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai.
So this story is just to cool on this hot air, because we are coming from the Scandinavia. So my name is Tatva Vardadas, and I'm distributing. There are also some others here. They are distributing in Sweden and Norway. So just a few weeks ago, we were almost on the way to coming here. It's still the snow time.